Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. If your firm is engaged in mergers and acquisitions, buying, selling, or valuing high-growth technology, your definition of due diligence has officially changed. It's no longer enough to use AI to automate document review. Today, the target company's AI assets themselves must be the subject of scrutiny. We are entering the era of the AI audit. In this essential special episode, we outline this new auditing imperative for private equity and venture capital. We'll show you how to uncover hidden liabilities, including crucial machine learning technical debt, weak data governance practices, and the complex compliance minefield of the EU AI Act. An AI audit is the only way to accurately price risks and distinguish assets that deserve a premium valuation from those that require a steep discount. But first, a crucial message for the enterprise builders. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech: getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. AI Unraveled is the single destination for CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads. Secure your mid-roll spot. The link is in the show notes. Tune in to understand the three mandatory pillars of the AI audit. Let's unravel the next wave of due diligence.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're stepping onto, a pretty high-stakes playing field: corporate mergers and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. But we aren't looking at the usual stuff like debt-to-equity ratios or market synergies. No, we're drilling into something newer, much more complex.
The hidden liabilities.
Exactly. The unknown risks, maybe even the toxicity, buried deep inside a target company's artificial intelligence systems.
That's right. I mean, the whole idea that AI automatically equals value, that era, it's over.
So what are investors finding? Especially, say, private equity and venture capital firms.
Well, they're finding that a lot of AI models are built on, let's say, shaky foundations. Mm. They hide massive technical debt, serious data governance flaws, compliance gaps, things that can genuinely sink an entire deal.
Okay, so our mission today is to give you, our listeners, a kind of shortcut to understanding the AI audit.
Right, this cutting-edge diligence framework that's becoming essential across the industry.
It's how the sophisticated investors make sure they're actually buying an asset, not some huge unpriced liability.
But first, yeah, we absolutely have to unpack this one critical point of confusion. The industry calls it a profound bifurcation. Sounds technical, but it's crucial.
It sounds like the number one misunderstanding when people talk about AI in M&A deals.
It absolutely is. Look, when a firm asks for AI diligence, they might get one of two totally different things. We really need to separate these two waves of AI involvement clearly.
Okay, let's do that. Wave one, what is it?
Wave one is basically AI-driven diligence. Think of it as AI being the tool for the audit.
Ah, so using AI to do the work. Automation.
Exactly. Automation applied to the traditional process. We're talking powerful machine learning, natural language processing, algorithms that scan thousands of contracts, financials, emails, whatever, in minutes.
And the efficiency gains there are just huge, right? I've seen reports saying these tools cut document processing costs by, up to 70%?
Easily, and reduce review times from weeks down to hours. Plus, they minimize human error in just spotting things.
Okay, so wave one makes M&A faster, cheaper, useful.
Very useful. But, and this is the crucial but, it tells you absolutely nothing about the quality or the risk of the AI inside the company you're planning to buy.
Got it. And that's where wave two comes in.
That's wave two, the AI audit. Here, AI is the target of the audit.
So the core question flips completely. It's not about efficiency anymore.
No, it's about validation. Is this target's main AI system a valuable, solid asset? Or is it, a ticking time bomb, a toxic liability?
And how do they figure that out? It sounds complex.
It is. It involves specialized teams doing a really deep socio-technical inspection. They're analyzing code, running bias tests, verifying where the data actually came from, data lineage, and checking compliance rigorously.
So for anyone listening, maybe prepping for a meeting or looking at a tech investment, getting this difference is key.
It's absolutely fundamental. If you ask for AI diligence and you only get the wave one speed boost, you are left completely exposed to all those potentially catastrophic wave two risks. They're just unpriced.
Well, right. So who's driving this shift? You mentioned PE and VC firms are leading the way. Their motivations are a bit different, though.
Yeah, slightly different drivers. For private equity, it's mainly about risk mitigation and creating long-term sustainable value. They hold companies longer, right?
5-7 years, maybe.
Exactly. So if they buy a company And the core AI system blows up or gets hit with a massive regulatory fine in year three, that doesn't just dent the return. It actively costs them money trying to fix a mess that might be foundational, maybe even unfixable.
So PE needs AI systems that are stable, maintainable, scalable over years.
Precisely. They need that long-term reliability.
And venture capital. Often the tech is the whole company valuation there.
For VCs, it's much more about core asset validation. They absolutely need to cut through the AI washing.
The hype. Companies pretending they have more AI capability than they do.
Right. VCs need to confirm that the secret sauce is real, that it can actually scale, and crucially, that it's legally defensible. Is it genuinely proprietary tech? Or is it going to crumble under the first serious IP challenge or when they try to integrate it with something else?
You know, this also sets up a really interesting situation for the big auditing firms, the big four. Okay. Wave one automation seems like it would eat their lunch, automating away that low-margin document review.
It does. It's a real threat to their traditional model. But it's also an opportunity. It's a classic case of, well, strategic cannibalization, maybe.
How so?
They basically accept that the high-volume, low-margin review work is going away. It'll be automated. So their solution is to pivot strategically.
To wave two.
Exactly. Replace that volume with the high-margin, high-expertise analysis needed for the wave two AI audit.
Moving up the value chain. Makes sense.
Totally. They combine their existing legal and financial know-how with new specialized AI tools and expertise to offer these tailored audit services. The human auditor isn't gone. Their role just gets elevated.
So instead of manually checking thousands of documents,
they're analyzing complex system outputs, interpreting findings, providing strategic advice. And that's something clients will pay a premium for. That's why you see things like PwC forming an alliance with Harvey, the AI research firm. They need that tech backbone for this new high-value service.
Okay, let's get into the actual framework of the AI audit. Pillar one, quantifying technical debt. Now, we all know tech debt is bad, but you mentioned ML systems have this hidden technical debt. That sounds worse.
It is worse because it's insidious. It's rarely in the main model code itself. It lives at the system level, and it leads to what our sources call massive ongoing maintenance costs.
Where is it hiding then?
Think about the whole system. A mature AI setup, maybe only 5% is the actual ML code. The other 95%, that's often undocumented glue code.
Glue code.
Yeah, scripts, data pipelines, random bits of infrastructure connecting the data source to the model to the output. It's often a tangled mess.
The pipeline jungle sounds brittle.
Extremely brittle. It creates systemic fragility. There's this principle, CCE. Changing anything changes everything.
Okay, explain that. How's it different from normal software?
Well, in traditional software, if you fix a bug in, say, the reporting module, you don't usually expect it to crash the user login system.
Right. They're separate enough.
But in a really entangled ML system, if you change just one seemingly minor input feature in the training data, it can completely mess up the importance or the way the model uses all the other features.
Wow. So a small tweak could break the whole model's accuracy.
Potentially destroy it. And this leads to what's called improvement deadlock.
Meaning?
Meaning the system is so fragile that the acquirer's own data science team trying to do routine maintenance or make improvements ends up breaking the core asset they just bought.
So you buy it hoping to boost performance and instead you can't even touch it safely.
Exactly. You can't improve it without risking total collapse. Nightmare scenario. So how do auditors take this technical fragility, this pipeline jungle risk, and turn it into something useful at the negotiating table, like a dollar figure?
They use automated tools, first off, to generate technical debt heat maps, visualizations of where the problems are.
Okay.
And they look for clear, quantifiable pain signals. Like if the code duplication ratio is over 10%, that's a huge red flag. It means developers were just copying and pasting core logic instead of building reusable, stable components.
And what does that specific signal code duplication translate to in terms of business risk?
Oh, huge risks. Things like regression leaks, where fixing one thing breaks another seemingly unrelated thing, or monolithic bottlenecks.
Monolithic bottleneck.
Yeah, where the entire prediction process runs as one giant slow chunk. If any tiny part of that monolith fails or slows down, the whole business service it supports just grinds to a halt.
Okay, I see. So the auditor quantifies the cost, the time, the resources needed to refactor that mess, to break it down into manageable microservices, and that number. That becomes the basis for demanding a discount in the deal price.
It makes perfect sense. Clean, modern systems get premium valuations because they're ready to scale. messy ones face steep, auditable discounts.
That's pillar one, the skeleton. Now, if tech debt is the brittle skeleton, data is the lifeblood. Pillar two, data governance and quality. This is often where the real-time bombs are buried.
Yeah, poor data governance. Mm-hmm. Inconsistent definitions, nobody knows who owns what data. Sounds like a recipe for disaster, especially during integration after the deal closes.
It's an integration catastrophe just waiting to happen.
Yep.
Seriously, picture merging two companies. Company A is fully GDPR compliant, uses tightly controlled relational databases, logs everything meticulously.
Okay.
Company B, they use NoSQL databases, have almost no audit trails. Their data schemas are totally different, undocumented, maybe conflicting definitions for the same terms.
Trying to merge those two data environments sounds impossible.
It's technical, legal, and financial chaos. You can't even align basic customer definitions, let alone get their AI models talking to each other or using combined data.
So the audit has to spot this beforehand. What's the framework for the data governance part of the audit?
It's usually three main steps. First, discover and document. The auditors check if there's a proper, user-friendly, searchable data catalog, you know, mapping out the core data systems, who owns what. You can't manage what you can't even find.
Makes sense. Step two.
Assess quality and integrity. They use AI tools here, too, for things like anomaly detection to check if the data is clean, unbiased enough, and generally high quality for how it's being used.
And the third step, which you flagged as critical for risk, data lineage and provenance.
Absolutely vital. Data lineage is all about tracking the data's journey from where it originated all the way through transformations right into the training set of the AI model.
Why is that trace so important?
It's the number one defense against inheriting toxic data. The auditor has to confirm rigorously that the target company actually holds the proper licenses or the rights to every single piece of data that AI model was trained on.
Because if that lineage traces back to, I don't know, copyrighted material they scraped without permission.
Exactly. Or sensitive customer data they used outside the original consent scope.
Then the AI model isn't really an asset anymore.
No, it's a massive unpriced legal liability. The acquirer could suddenly be on the hook for huge IP infringement lawsuits, GDPR fines, based on data practices they had nothing to do with. The AI audit provides that paper trail proving defensibility or showing the lack of it.
Which leads us neatly into pillar three. Navigating the compliance minefield. This seems to have exploded recently.
Oh, absolutely. Compliance used to be sort of a back office checklist task. Now, it's a potential make or break deal driver, especially with this growing patchwork of laws popping up everywhere.
Like the EU AI Act, GDPR, various US state laws, yeah. Colorado AI Act, things like that.
The landscape is moving incredibly fast. But for auditors right now, the big global focus is definitely the EU AI Act. It's rapidly becoming the de facto global standard for AI diligence.
So how does the auditor tackle that specifically?
Okay, first, they have to classify the target's AI systems according to the Act's risk tiers. They're immediately scanning for anything falling into the unacceptable risk category.
Like what?
Things like AI for government social scoring or systems designed to manipulate vulnerable groups. If the auditor finds one of those, it's an immediate deal killer. You just walk away. Too toxic.
Okay, but what about the high risk category? That seems like it would cover a lot of common AI uses in M&A targets AI and hiring, credit scoring, maybe operating critical infrastructure.
That's right. High risk is common. And if the target's key AI asset falls into that category, the compliance demand from the auditor is crystal clear.
Which is?
They must provide a comprehensive EU AI Act compliance packet. This isn't optional, it's essential proof.
What's in this packet?
It has to include detailed technical documentation about the system, proof of robust record keeping and logging capabilities, and critically, evidence that the system was designed from the ground up with effective human oversight mechanisms built in.
So if that packet is missing or incomplete,
that's crucial evidence of a massive compliance gap. It basically proves the target has been operating without properly preparing for the most significant AI regulation coming online.
Which means huge remediation costs for the acquirer.
Potentially millions. It shows they're years behind on compliance readiness.
Yeah.
And then layered on top of this, you have the unique risks coming from generative AI. That's the real bleeding edge.
The IP infringement risk seems massive there. If a Gen AI model trains on copyrighted text or images,
then its output could legally be considered a derivative work. That uncertainty is a huge threat to the future value and defensibility of any product built on that model.
And data leakage.
also a big one. These large models can sometimes unintentionally leak sensitive training data, including proprietary company info or customer data. We've seen real-world examples, even from major players, where things like other users' private conversation titles were accidentally exposed.
So the audit has to check the security around how prompts are handled, how data is segregated.
Absolutely. And they also have to tackle AI washing.
Right, the hype problem again. How does the audit verify the target isn't just exaggerating its AI chops to fool investors?
Well, the auditor's job is specifically to separate that speculative hype from real defensible technology. They demand proof of performance. They look at the system architecture for genuine innovation. They check if it's truly proprietary or just, you know, a thin wrapper around a publicly available API.
So weeding out the fakes.
Exactly. Confirming there's a real technological basis for the valuation being claimed.
Okay, let's move to the final pillar. Auditing the model itself, specifically looking at bias and security. We hear a lot about AI bias, but the audit frames it differently, right? Not just ethics, but as a material financial risk.
Precisely. Because model bias isn't abstract, it creates very real legal exposure and potentially catastrophic reputational risk.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Imagine a bank uses an AI for fraud detection, but it was trained on biased historical data, and now it consistently flags transactions by, say, older customers far more often, unfairly.
Okay.
That's not just unfair, it's a clear target for regulators. It invites discrimination lawsuits, hefty fines, and the kind of negative press that can destroy customer trust and brand value. That hits the bottom line directly.
So the audit can't just accept vague claims of fairness. It has to be quantitative.
Absolutely. Testing against established statistical fairness metrics, things like demographic parity or equal opportunity, numbers, not just promises.
And the audit also looks at how the target tries to mitigate bias. That tells you something about their maturity.
Yes, it's a huge signal of AI maturity and therefore value. Auditors look at where mitigation happens, pre-processing, in-processing, or post-processing.
Okay, break those down. Why does the difference matter so much for valuation?
Well, low maturity companies, they often just rely on post-processing, meaning they let the biased model make its decision and then they try to tweak the output afterwards to make it look fairer.
That sounds like a band-aid.
It is a band-aid. It doesn't fix the underlying flawed, biased system. High-value targets, the more mature ones, use pre-processing cleaning and balancing the input data before training the model or in-processing techniques, where fairness constraints are built directly into the model's training process itself.
Much more fundamental solutions.
Way more fundamental. A target using those deeper techniques, that signals a much higher level of AI maturity, much lower future risk, and that translates directly to a higher valuation in the deal.
Okay, now shifting to security within the model audit, you're saying traditional cybersecurity checks like penetration testing aren't enough for AI.
They're necessary, but not sufficient. AI models have unique vulnerabilities, novel attack vectors that require specialized testing.
Such as?
Well, you have data poisoning. That's where an attacker subtly injects bad data into the training set itself, aiming to corrupt how the model behaves later on, maybe make it misclassify things in a specific way.
Oonky.
Very. Then there's prompt injection, mainly for generative AI. Tricking the model, often with really clever, complex prompts, into spitting out confidential training data or bypassing its safety controls.
And evasion attacks.
Evasion attacks are about fooling the model at inference time, creating malicious inputs, maybe slightly altered images that look normal to us that trick the model into making a wrong classification, like making a self-driving car's vision system misidentify a stop sign.
Okay, serious risks. And the audit needs specialists to test for these.
Yes, you need security testers who understand these specific AI vulnerabilities. And crucially, the sources are very clear on this. You cannot trust the target company's own internal audit, especially if it's AI-based.
Why not? Conflict of interest.
That, but also capability. Some research suggests that large language models trying to find security flaws in their own or similar code can actually perform worse than random guessing.
Wow.
Yeah. So the acquirer must bring in independent, specialized human experts and reputable third-party firms to do that security validation. It's absolutely non-negotiable for serious investors today.
Okay, so the audit's done. The team has its findings, the tech debt heat maps, the compliance gaps report, the bias metrics, the security holes, maybe some valuation discount recommendations.
Yeah.
How does all this actually get used? How does it become leverage in the deal negotiation?
Well, the audit report itself becomes the primary piece of leverage. If the findings are severe enough, say, they uncover an unacceptable risk system under the EU AI Act, or find hard proof of systematic data toxicity, sophisticated acquirers might just use that to walk away from a deal entirely. It flags the asset as just too messy, too risky to fix.
But for deals that do go ahead,
the findings translate directly into demanding very specific AI-focused clauses in the deal, contract the reps and warranties.
So, moving beyond generic promises.
Way beyond. You're demanding things like legally binding proof of absence of known model bias up to a certain standard, or warranties about the originality of algorithms and training data. It forces the seller to stand behind their claims and shifts the liability if those claims turn out to be false post-acquisition.
And I love this part. The audit report doesn't just sit on a shelf after the deal closes. It becomes the blueprint for the new owners.
Exactly. It's a 100-day integration plan, essentially.
Post-acquisition playbook.
That's a great way to put it. The technical debt audit. That dictates the new CTO's remediation roadmap, helps them budget the cleanup, the compliance audit. That sets the immediate priority list for the chief compliance officer. It's not just findings. It's an actionable roadmap for fixing things and actually creating value.
And looking ahead, it really feels like this level of AI diligence is fast becoming, well, table stakes.
It absolutely is. We're seeing studies, like one from 2024, showing 80% of M&A practitioners expect to be using Gen AI in their own diligence processes within just 3 years. The AI audit isn't some niche optional thing anymore. It's rapidly becoming the new standard for how you underwrite risk in tech deals.
And it's interesting, despite all the advanced tools we've talked about, the Wave 1 automation, the Wave 2 analysis tools the sources really emphasize, that human judgment remains critical.
Vital and essential are the words they use, because the tools can surface data, find patterns, even run tests. But understanding the context, interpreting the complex interconnections between code, data, compliance, and business impact. Assessing the soft information, the team's culture around AI ethics.
That still takes human expertise.
It requires strategic thinking, domain knowledge, critical judgment. The human auditor's role isn't disappearing. It's being elevated from routine tasks to high-level analysis and interpretation.
Which really suggests, wrapping this up, that a pretty significant performance gap is opening up in the market.
I think it is, yes. Firms that genuinely master this structured, deep AI audit process, they're going to be able to underwrite more deal value with confidence.
Because they understand the risks properly.
Exactly. They'll buy better assets, they'll price the risks correctly during negotiation, and ultimately, they should deliver higher returns to their investors.
Well, the firms that ignore this complexity.
Well, they'll be the ones left managing and paying for all those massive, hidden, unpriced AI risks that their smarter competitors saw coming and priced into the deal. Or avoid it altogether. That gap between the AI-savvy investors and the rest, it's only going to widen as AI becomes even more central to business value.
That wraps up our special episode on AI audit, the next wave of due diligence. The key insight for M&A, mergers and acquisitions leaders, is that a target company's AI stack is now the largest potential source of hidden liability or premium value. The Big Four and specialist advisory firms are already building services around the technical soundness, data governance, and legal compliance pillars of this new audit. If you're planning an acquisition or are being acquired, the AI audit framework is your risk mitigation tool before the deal closes and your integration roadmap after. You must assess not just what the AI does, but how it was built, on what data it was trained, and under what legal risk it operates. If you are leading an enterprise through this high-stakes shift, this message is for you. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the challenge of getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This is a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs and VPs of engineering. Don't wait. Secure your mid-roll spot immediately. The link is in the show notes. If this analysis helps you build your strategic plan, please take a moment right now and like and subscribe to AI Unraveled. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow to unravel the next chapter in AI.